Now I ask that you'd give your careful and prayerful attention to our brother Martin as he gives us the message of the day.
Thank you, Bob. Well, another nice day we have. We can always thank the Lord for those extra days that He gives us. Here, we'll begin here on page 4 in the Book of Mormon. And I'll read a few verses here. Begin with verse 24. For behold, come to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and saith unto him, Blessed are thy Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done, and because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee. Behold, they seek to take away thy life. Come to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart in the wilderness. Come to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. And he left his whole house in the land of his inheritance, and his gold, and his silver, and his precious things, and took nothing with him save it were his family and provisions and tent, and departed into the wilderness. Well, here's a man that was obedient to the Lord. He'd gone and preached to the people the word of God. They rejected him, and they were going to put him away, as the Lord says. And so he commands him to leave. How many of you today when you get up and walk out your front door with just your clothes on your back and provisions and go where the Lord would tell you to? Be pretty hard, I think. But he did, and that's the way it was. He left there. His wife was a little bit hesitant about it later on. She went, but she didn't know herself. But anyway, they go into the wilderness there, and they start on that tree. And so I'd like to continue here on page 49 in the Book of Mormon and read some more. We'll follow them through. Verse 22 here is where I'll start. And come to pass that I, Nephi, went forth to slay food. Behold, I did break my bow, which was made of fine steel. And after that I did break my bow, behold, my brethren were angry with me because of the loss of my bow, for we did obtain no food. You know, they had a higher technology than a lot of people would like to admit they had. He had a steel bow there, and he did break it. Today, you know, they have the recurved bows that really do a marvelous job. But they didn't have them, I don't think, at that time. But they did have the steel bows and the wooden bows they had. I'll continue on here. Come to pass that we did return without food to our families, and being much fatigued because of our journey, they did suffer much for the want of food. And it come to pass that Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael did begin to murmur exceedingly because of the suffering and affliction in the wilderness. And also my father began to murmur against the Lord, his God, yea, and they were all exceeding sorrowful, even that they did murmur against the Lord. Now it come to pass that I, Nephi, having been afflicted by my brethren because of the loss of my bow, and their bows having lost their spring, it began to be exceeding difficult, yea, insomuch that we could are finding some hardship because they're not obedient to the Lord. Our faithful Nephi is, and he admonishes his father and his brothers that they need to be obedient to the Lord. They're not liking it. They're blaming, and Lemuel is complaining and blaming other people for all their problems that they have there. Let me continue on page 51 here, on verse 49, and read a few verses. Now, he said that the Lord has talked with him, and also that angels have ministered unto him. This is true, but this is Laman and Lemuel. You know, they're murmuring, they're complaining that Nephi seems to be the leader here, and they're not liking it, and they're complaining about it. But behold, we know that he lieth unto us, and he telleth these things, that he worketh many things by his cunning arts, that he may deceive our eyes, thinking perhaps that he may lead us away into some strange wilderness. Now, here they are coming up with all kinds of ideas, complaining of the hardships they have, that Lehi's leading them. You know, the Lord told him he'd be a teacher and a guide for him, as long as he kept the commandments and that, and he was. You know, he's the youngest son. Laman and Lemuel are older, and they think that they should have the leadership and not Nephi. But, you know, in this world, we human beings like to complain. We all do it, but, you know, the Lord doesn't like it, this murmuring and complaining. He gets disgusted with the ways of man. That we want to complain about somebody or something else or something not going right. We only need to look at ourselves in these things. Verse 51 here. And after that he has led us away, he had thought to make himself a king and a ruler over us, that he may do with us according to his will and pleasure. And after this manner did my brother Laman stir up their hearts to anger. And so here he is complaining, jealous that Nephi is blessed of the Lord like he is, and helping and leading. His father, is a very faithful individual to the Lord as well. You know, he went and preached to the people there in Jerusalem, and as the Lord commanded. But, you know, here we are in the wilderness. You know, it's not always easy. It doesn't ever mention they having any animals with them, but I'm sure that they had means of transportation there to put all of their equipment upon, some donkeys and such not as that. They had them. I'm well satisfied, but it doesn't mention it. I'm sure they didn't pack all that stuff on their backs and drag them. But nevertheless, they left and went into the wilderness like they should. And we'll continue on here on page 52 a little bit more. On verse 57. And so great were the blessings of the Lord upon us that we did live upon raw meat in the wilderness. Our women did get plenty of suck for their children and were strong, yea, even like unto men. And they began to bear the journeying without murmuring. And thus we see that the commandments of God must be fulfilled. And if it so be that the children of men keep the commandments of God, he does nourish them and strengthen them and provide ways and means whereby they can accomplish the things which he has commanded them. But, the adversary works upon us that we want to complain. So many people through life, They complain about this or that. Instead of looking to themselves, there, you know, in the beginning, Abel and Cain, you remember there, they offered up the sacrifices to the Lord, and Cain was unhappy because the Lord didn't accept his offering that he had. And so he rose up against Abel and slew him. You know, he only had to look to himself for the problems, not to somebody else. You know, he was evidently a little bit envious or jealous, however you want to put it, of Abel there. And so it begins there, begins this life. We complain and murmur against somebody or the Lord or something, some of people in our job that we work with seem like during lifetime that I worked, I seemed to have pretty good bosses. They were okay. I kind of enjoyed them. But you know, a lot of people don't. They're disgruntled with their bosses and such not, and you hear about it, you know, they come in and they shoot their bosses today and such not, and create all kinds of havoc, and they only need to look to themselves. But you know, the author of these things that do those is Satan. He's the author of discord, and that's what he wants everybody to be unhappy and to complain. That's Satan. He knows what's coming. He's unhappy because he was disobedient to the Lord. But you know, the Lord blessed them there. You know, they had light at night. They had a cloud by day to give them shade and such not. And the food that they had to eat, the meat, the Lord made sweet. Very wonderful it was. And yet, you know, as it says, they were 8 years in the wilderness, quite a while. It wasn't all easy. I'm well satisfied. But you know, the Jaredites, when they brought to this land, you know, they were in the wilderness too many times. And why Moroni doesn't mention any of the problems they had, I'm sure that there was murmuring and complaining. Can you imagine being in a boat for 344 days, being shook about in them rough waves and covered up at times of water and such not? That a long time to be in a boat, 344 days. Do you think there was murmuring? Well, I'm sure there was. But still and all, it says, Brother Jared praised the Lord along the way. Isn't that what Nephi done? He praised the Lord and glorified him in all the problems that he had. Doesn't ever mention him really complaining that I'm aware of. But it's a human nature to want to blame somebody for something that isn't quite right. I'd like to go over here on page 55. This is, again, Laman and them complaining. On verse 95, I'll read here. That's on 54, really. And our women have toiled, being big with child, and they have borne children in the wilderness and suffered all things, save it were death. And it would have been better that they had died before they come out of Jerusalem than to have suffered these afflictions. A complaining, a murmuring again. Laman and Lemuel. Why are they doing? Well, their minds are darkened. They're blinded to the gospel. And the Lord goes along with him, but you know he places it upon them later on, a dark skin because of their disobedience to the Lord. We need to, at all times, be faithful to the Lord. Verse 97, behold, these many years we have suffered in the wilderness, which time we might have enjoyed our possession and the land of our inheritance, yea, and we might have been happy. And we know that the people which were in the land of Jerusalem were a righteous people. But they kept the statutes, for they kept the statutes and the judgments of the law and all his commandments according to the law of Moses. Wherefore we know that they were a righteous people. And a father has judged them and has led us away because we would hearken unto his words. Yea, and our brothers like unto him. Well, they're still not happy. But there they are. They're saying how righteous the people were in Jerusalem. They kept the commandments. You know, their minds are really blinded here in that respect because they're following the ways of Satan, not the ways of the Lord. You know, when the Lord come to Abraham and told him he was going to bring a destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham began to plead with him and that he wouldn't do that if there was 50 righteous. And you know, he got clear down to 10. And then he finally decided he better stop there. And the Lord said, no, if I find 10, I wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There wasn't 10 there. But you know what he told Jeremiah as well? Well, Jeremiah says, if you can find one righteous soul, I'll spare Jerusalem. Just one. Well, Jeremiah couldn't. And you know, Jerusalem was destroyed because of the wickedness of the people. And that's why Lehi and company were led out to this land because of the promise made to little Joseph of old. You know, even there, his brothers were complaining against Joseph, and they sold him into Egypt. Well, you know the story there, how the Lord was with him and blessed him and prospered him and all that time. And then after the king finally called him of Egypt and asked him for the interpretation of those things, if he could do it, he could. The Lord was with him. Why? Because he kept the commandments of God. And that's what everybody needs to do, is be aware to obey the Lord in all things. This murmuring is not good. I'd continue on here a little bit and drop down onto verse 105 and read a few verses here. Now you know, now this is Lehi speaking back to his brothers. Now you know that the children of Israel were in bondage, and you know that they were laden with tasks which were grievous to be borne. And that's why they was in Egypt, the children of Israel he's speaking of. Wherefore you know that it must needs be a good thing for them that they should be brought out of bondage. Now, you know that Moses was commanded of the Lord to do that great work. And you know that by his word, the waters of the Red Sea were divided hither and thither, and they passed through on dry ground. But you know that the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea, which were the armies of Pharaoh. And he also knew that they were... And ye also know that they were fed with manna in the wilderness. Yea, and ye also know that Moses, by his word, according to the power of God which was in him, smote the rock, and there come forth water, that the children of Israel might quench their thirst. And now, notwithstanding they being led, the Lord their God, their Redeemer, going before them, leading them by day, and giving light unto them by night, and doing all things for them that they were expedient for them to receive, they hardened their hearts, and blinded their minds, and reviled against Moses and against the true and living God. And so, they were led out of Egypt. All the miracles that were done there in Egypt were quite a few. About 10 or 11 of them miracles. And the last one, was the Lord passed over the house of Israel, and that's where the Passover began to come. All the firstborn of the land were destroyed if they hadn't marked their houses, with that blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost. The Lord would pass over that there would no harm come to them. But the others that didn't do that, the Egyptians and all of them, they lost their firstborn. Well, the king kicked them out pretty quick-like. So it was problems that they had, and yet let's go over into the Bible in the book of Numbers, 14th chapter. I believe we want the 14th chapter, yeah. Of all the things that the Lord done for him, he destroyed the Egyptian army, led them through, and you would have thought that with all of these miracles that the Lord had done, that they wouldn't be complaining quite the way that they did. As they were there at Mount Sinai, the Lord had taken 12 men and go search out the land to see how it was. Well, 10 of them brought back an ill report. 2 of them brought back a good report. They wanted to go in. Well, the Lord would have been with them if they had, but they listened to the ill reports, and man just wants to complain all the time, and so they did. And here in the 14th chapter of Numbers, beginning of verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. See, they'd been listening to the reports of those 10 people that had come back, and they didn't want to go in. They didn't believe the Lord could help them. And yet the Lord had been with them all those times. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Well, isn't that kind of a comical thing in a way? It's just like what Laman and Lemuel were saying. And better our wives than that, we died in the wilderness. Before we come here, complaining, always blaming somebody else. Their lack of faith, their lack of righteousness was the problem. That was the problem with Laman and Lemuel, their lack of righteousness of keeping the commandments. Verse 3, and wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And that's what they wanted to do. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. They didn't want to follow the Lord anymore. All of the problems they were having, so many, was because of their unrighteousness. And so, the Lord instituted upon them, as they refer to him, as the law of Moses, because of their hardness of heart. And so, It's just a repeat of things, you know, as Laman was telling them here that they were complaining. The Lord doesn't like the people to be complaining and griping at somebody else all the time. He doesn't like it. Because of it, you know, they run into all those problems. We have the Lamanites, which become of their dark skin because of their unrighteousness. But let us continue on here. Page 94 we'll go to. No, beginning here on the fourth chapter, verse 1. Behold, it come to pass that I, Nephi, did cry much unto the Lord my God, excuse me, because of the anger of my brethren. But behold, their anger did increase against me, insomuch that they did seek to take away my life. Yea, they did murmur against me, saying, our younger brother thinketh to rule over us, and we have had much trial because of him. Therefore, now let us slay him, that we may not be afflicted more because of his words. For behold, we will not that he shall be our ruler, for it belongeth to us, which are the elder brethren to rule over the people. And you know, that's the way it has been a lot of the times, you know, but not necessarily always with the Lord. They had it this way down through the kings. It always went so much of the time from father to son, a good lot of the time. But anyway, the older brothers were the ones that ruled, as he says here. And they were unhappy because they were put down, if you want to say. Nephi was the leader here, and Lehi both, his father. But they weren't liking it, and they were complaining about it, and such not. Now let me read a few more verses. Now I do not write upon these plates all the words which they murmured against me, but it suffices me to say that they did seek to take away my life. And it come to pass that the Lord did warn me that I, Nephi, should depart from them and flee into the wilderness, and all they which would go with me. And so that's what they done. Isn't that what the Lord done for Lehi? Let him out. Lehi out of the Jerusalem because they were going to put him to death. Here, Lehi's brothers, older brothers, are going to put him to death because they were jealous of him or whatever you want to put it. They didn't like it. And so they're going to put him to death, but the Lord tells him to lead and leads him out. And finally, he goes up to where they call the land of Nephi, which, from what I read, would be in Guatemala in that country, is where that his first inheritance would be there. I'd like to go over to page 201. And read here on page 201, begin with verse 19. Behold, I will speak unto you somewhat concerning Mosiah, which was made king over the land of Zarahemla. For behold, he being warned of the Lord that he should flee out of the land of Nephi, and as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord should also depart out of the land with him into the wilderness. Come to pass that we did according as the Lord had commanded him. And they departed out of the land into the wilderness, as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And they were led by many preaching and prophesying. And they were admonished continually by the word of God. And they were led by the power of his arm through the wilderness until they come down into the land which is called the land of Zarahemla. Now here they are in the land of Nephi. And the Lord tells Mosiah to leave. Why does he tell him to leave? Because the Lamanites are going to destroy him. They'll have nothing but problems there. So he leads them down to Zarahemla, where they meet the other people there. So, but anyway, I want to continue on here. The Lord has led them down to Zarahemla. All of that word. Now, I don't know if any stayed back or not. I don't know. But anyway, he led them, and then the Lord commanded them to leave their homes and all of that they had. They up and left and took. They took all their clothing, I assume, and that, and their animals, and they parted into the wilderness. On page 203, on verse 48 here. And now I would speak somewhat concerning a certain number which went up into the wilderness to return to the land of Nephi. For there was a large number which were desirous to possess the land of their inheritance. Wherefore, they went up into the wilderness, and their leader, being a strong and a mighty man, and a stiff-necked man, therefore he caused a contention among them. And they were all slain, say 50, in the wilderness. And they returned again to the land of Zarahemla. So apparently there was quite a number of them, and they were all destroyed. But 50, why were they destroyed? Well, they were going against the commandments of God. That's why. Mosiah had just let them out. Greed was in their heart, you know. They seen all them houses that was left up there, the orchards that were up there, the fields up there, the irrigation canals, all of those things just sitting there, nobody to take care of them. And you know, everybody's kind of fond of where they're raised up first at and lived. They kind of like go back and see it and such not. Well, they couldn't stand. Here they were in a new land, and all them homes and that were back up there, everything. So they wanted to go. Well, he took these people up. Well, the Lord's not with them because they're going against the commandments of God here. And so they come back. And let us continue on here to page 239. I'll start here on verse 54. Now, they go back, these 50 people, and Zenith is there, one of them, and he gathers another group of people. This time, there's men, women, and children in this group. It's not all men like it the first time. But anyway, they take their families back up, and they go back up. I'll begin here on verse 52 on 238. And again, they were wroth with him because he departed in the wilderness as the Lord had commanded him. Now that's Nephi they are speaking of. And took the records which were engraven on the plates of brass, for they said that he robbed them. See, they're coming up with complaints because they're not righteous. They're complaining about somebody else. They should be complaining about themselves. And thus they have taught their children that they should hate them, and that they should murder them, and that they should rob and plunder them, and do all they could to destroy them. Therefore they have an eternal hatred towards the children of Nephi. And truly they did. For this very cause has King Laman, by his cunning and his craftiness and his fair promises, deceived me, that I have brought this, my people, up into this land, that they may destroy them. Yea, and we have suffered this many years in the land. And now I, Zenith, after having told all these things unto my people concerning the Lamanites, I did stimulate them to go to battle with their might, putting their trust in the Lord. Therefore, we did contend with them face to face. Come to pass that we did drive them again out of our land, and we slew them with a great slaughter, even so many that we did not number them. And so they have their first battle there after a number of years. But here he is, Zenith, complaining. He's a blaming King Laman for his own faults. It isn't King Laman's fault. It's Zenith's fault. He went up against the commandments of God. So there's what they got. Obey the Lord in all things. You know, greed took them back up, as I said. You know, they seen all them homes and land up there, just sitting there. And so he took them back up. Now he's the blaming King Laman. They've been there 12 years and they have this battle. And they're there 22 years and King Laman finally dies. And then they really have problems. But just one time do they have a war. But he's wanting to blame somebody else for his own faults. His own faults. It ain't anybody else's. That all they had to do was obey the Lord. But you know, sometimes we blame other people, not knowing all the facts, whatever, for the problems we have. Well, we need to look at ourselves and not somebody else for those things. I'd like to go over to here to read on page 526. In the Book of Mormon here, verse 11. You know, they're having, this is the time of King Moroni. They're really having problems with the Lamanites. Lamanites have made big headway and come in against them. And it's all because the people turn their backs upon the Lord, just like the children of Israel. They're at Mount Sinai, you know. They served another 40 years out in the wilderness because of the hardness of their hearts, not putting their faith in the Lord as they should. They couldn't blame anybody but themselves, but, yeah, they did. It's always somebody else's fault, not theirs. Here we have a situation that it happens. Verse 11. Excuse me. And now when Moroni saw that the city of Nephi-Hah was lost, he was exceeding sorrowful and began to doubt because of the witness of the people whether they should not fall into the hands of their brethren. That would be the Lamanites. Now this was the case with all his chief captains. They doubted and marveled also because of the witness of the people, and this because of the success of the Lamanites over them. Come to pass that Moroni was angry with the government because of their indifference concerning the freedom of their country. Come to pass that he wrote again to the governor of the land, which was Pharaoh. And these are the words which he wrote, saying, Behold, I direct my epistle unto Pharaoh in the city of Zarahemla, which is the chief judge and governor over the land, and also to all those who have been chosen by this people to govern and maintain the affairs of the war. Behold, I have somewhat to say unto them by way of condemnation, for behold, you yourselves know that you have been appointed to gather together men and arm them with swords and with centimeters and all manner of weapons of war of every kind, and send forth against the Lamanites in whatsoever parts they should come into the our land. Well, here Moroni as he says, he wrote the letter of condemnation to the governor of the land, Pharaoh. But you know, he didn't have all the facts. Because of the hard problems they were having serious problems. He was blaming Pharaoh. He didn't know at the time that Pharaoh was in trouble up to his eyeballs like they were as well. You know, the king's men. who rose up against the government there in Zarahemla and drove him out. And so, you know, he finally writes back to Moroni and tells him the problems. So they solve them. But, you know, here Moroni is blaming somebody else for some of the problems they got. True, they did have problems. But, you know, he wasn't knowing all the case of all the things, of why they were not receiving those provisions and that. It's easy to blame somebody else in these circumstances. Walking through them wilderness all those times, you know. It wasn't easy, I'm sure of that, but as they kept the commandments of God, the Lord blessed them in those things. I'd like to go back to the Bible here for my final reading here. It'll be in Luke. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Beyond verse 13, I'll read a few verses. Now this is concerning Jesus. He's in Pilate's and Herod's court. Excuse me. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priest and the rulers of the people, said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. See, the chief priest and all of them, Sadducees and Pharisees, are bringing charges against Christ, because Christ is doing that which is right and they're doing that which is not right, but they're wanting to uphold their traditions of men. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. See, he's innocent. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for if necessary, he must release one of them at the feast. And that's Barabbas there, who was the murderer. And finally, you know, the people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, get the people to contend against Pilate that they don't want Jesus to go free, but to crucify him. And so that's what they do. They raise their voice against him in greed or jealousy or whatever because of their unrighteousness, their blindness of mind. We need to be very careful in all of these things and follow the Word of God in all things. When we follow the Lord, the words of the Lord, and keep His commandments, things go real well. He'll bless you and prosper you, just like He did Nephi through the wilderness. They had problems, as it says. You know, they tarried there 8 years. The Jaredites, same way, a good number of years they tarried in the wilderness too. But Moroni never gives to us any of their complaints. You know, just a good reading of the things that they done, and the Lord was with them. So it's easy to complain, but we need to look at ourselves and not the other person. Thank you.